For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Camelot. It's only a model.
Shh. We're knights of the round table. We dance where we're able.
All right. It's exciting. I don't believe this pair has ever been joined before.
Yeah, I don't think so.
All right. Jeremy Green, ESPN draft nerd, ESPN Asheville, our affiliate up on top of the very big mountains here in North Carolina. He joins us, and my man Brendan Wooded, at HU Cosell from Bison Express and other important endeavors. He joins us as well. We've got Brendan, we've got Jeremy, and we've got stuff to talk about. All right, we're going to start. I want to start with Caitlin Clark because I do think it's a big deal. So, Jeremy, I'll start with you up there on the mountains in the rarefied air. What did you make of Caitlin Clark and the scene last night and the people watching and everything that it might mean?
Well, it's great for the sport. It got me to watch the sport. I coached the sport. Years and years ago. I don't watch nearly as much basketball now as I used to.
Right.
If for nothing else, because I absolutely detest the NCAA. I would also be remiss if I didn't point out, I wonder if Texas paid like a million of Boo Corrigan's that new contract for keeping out Florida State.
Wow.
But that's the Florida State fan in me, so I couldn't help but say that. I think it's great. Look, we did a Super Bowl party up here in Asheville on Sunday. And before the game started, they weren't watching the pregame. They were watching Caitlin Clark in Nebraska. And I'm not going to say it caught me off guard. I was really locked into how many people were locked in.
Right.
And I don't feel like Sabrina Ionescu had that. I don't feel like Kelsey Plum had that. I don't know what's different this time. I don't think it's just the record. That certainly helped. But, I mean, what it can do for the sport is fantastic. I had a lot of girls that played for me that I hope they're watching this. I still talk to a few of them, and I hope they're watching this and really see that women's basketball is getting into the national landscape, and I think that's a positive.
Before I bring in Brendan Wittett on this, I would point out that the 44th president of the United States, Barack Obama, last night tweeted out a congratulatory message to Caitlin Clark for being the all-time leading scorer in women's college basketball history, and that is actually factually incorrect because she is right now third in women's basketball history, first in NCAA history. Lynette Woodard of Kansas, most of her career before the NCAA actually recognized women's basketball, so she'll catch her in a couple of games. 36-49, and Pearl Moore from Francis Marion played her entire career before NCAA recognized women's basketball. She ain't going to pass her. 4,061 points, I think it was. She's not going to get her unless she comes back for another year. Brendan, thoughts on Caitlin Clark?
Yeah, I think that's part of like what you were just mentioning, because I didn't know who Lynette Woodard was. Like, I just didn't.
She was just actually inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame not that long ago, I believe.
Yeah, I went to my computer when I started getting more on my timeline because, you know, it is Black History Month.
Yeah.
And so people started wanting to recognize her, and I was just like, I didn't know anything about her. I never heard her name before. It's not like I was a huge women's college basketball fan. I'm not going to pretend like I was, but that was surprising. I think that's part of the great stuff. Like, you start having these competitions, you're starting to have those fun, hey, who's the top five women's college basketball player of all time? You know, it's you know, kind of Jordan, LeBron, and like getting into those very dumb sports conversations that I absolutely love to have.
Right.
And she's amazing. Just, I was a little late getting in front of the TV last night. I was like, okay, well, I know she needs 8 points. Solid chance he does it sometime in the first quarter, but I was a little late. She already had 21 by the time I sat down.
She scored the first 8 of the game.
Like, Like, I think she was, it was like 2:32 had gone off the clock.
Yeah.
She had already done it. Like, and it's the way that she's doing it too, right? Like, it's the only thing that I can kind of liken it to was when Steph was at Davidson. And I know that comparison has been made 1,000 times, but it's hard not to look at her game in the way that she's able to make shots deep off the dribble, catch and shoot. Like, that's, she's just a great shooter, but she's also a phenomenal passer. I had not given her enough credit. I sat down and really watched. And I was like, man, she's making the transition pass ahead of the play, hitting these ladies in stride, the pick and roll, the way that she's able to manipulate like that, get those pocket passes off. Like, she's a great, legitimately great player. And it's been nice that so much has been made about her game. Didn't love some of the weird Cheryl Swoop stuff. That didn't come from her, but, like, there was some of that kind of circling around. But these are, like, she's engendering so much conversation, genuine conversation about the game of women's basketball, not having nothing to do with men's basketball, just how much fun she's been to watch. And that's refreshing.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the fact that she's not just a shooter. Last night, she shot a pretty high percentage. She's a 40% shooter from three-point range this year, just a shade under it, and under a 40% shooter from three in her career at Iowa. So it's not like she's shooting 48, 49%. She's not in the Curry area. But, I mean, she is an incredible passer. She had 11 assists last night, averages about 8.5 assists a game. So, it's, you know, she shoots a lot, but she's also dishing off a lot of assists. So this is what I kept, because Victoria had asked me about it before, and sometimes you have to remember where we are in our timeline of women's sports as an attraction. And you still get the people who say, well, you know, the NBA props up the WNBA. And, like, yeah, I mean, okay. It's not necessarily at this point a standalone huge moneymaker, which is why the women don't make a ton of money. The WNBA salaries are not. There's a reason why almost all of the women were supplementing their income by playing overseas, right? Why,
well,
Brittany?
Also the CBA, right? They get a far less. I think it's about 25% the Players Association splits with the ownership, and there are some structural issues that need to change in the WNBA. You know, they talk about expanding, you know, having more teams, but they also need to expand rosters. Some first round picks aren't getting signed. Like, there are some structural things that still need to go on, and that's just showing how much in the infancy we are in this whole thing.
It's totally new, but what happened a couple of years ago with the Women's European Championship in soccer, where they did not anticipate it being a big deal, and the way it was received and viewed and consumed was far beyond they could ever imagine. I think it triggered in a lot of people this notion that, wait a second, maybe women's sports are popular, more popular than we think. And I believe that we're seeing this, and I'm not saying it's just because of Caitlin Clark, but she might have come on at the right time to help the, you know, women's basketball take another leap forward. Like, she's not the greatest women's player we've ever seen. Like, I don't even know where she would fit on that list, to be honest. But she might be the right person at the right time to kind of push all this forward. Let me move on to something else. We don't have, like we have 30 minutes here to do this. So, Jeremy, explain why Steve Wilks can't keep a job despite being great at his job, and Cliff Kingsbury keeps getting jobs when he is clearly not good at his.
It's easier to explain the Steve Wilks side of that than it is the Cliff Kingsbury side. Cliff Kingsbury, to me, is like Sasquatch. People keep telling me that they've seen the greatness. I've never seen it. I've seen some fuzzy video that looks like maybe it was competent a couple of times, and yet every team in this cycle wanted to hire him. I'm just not really sure I understand why. The thing in San Francisco with Steve Wilks is he wasn't great at his job. It got better, and he's been great at times. I thought that was the weirdest hire I think I've ever seen. When D'Amico Ryans took the Texans job, they bring in Steve Wilks, and I'm pretty familiar with this because I have a former 49ers head coach as our head coach with my beloved tortured New York Jets. And I look at the Steve Wilks thing. I was obviously here around the Panthers when Steve was here. And the only thing I kept saying was, this is a completely different defense than what they're used to. I've heard things behind closed doors that maybe Kyle Shanahan and Steve Wilks didn't love each other.
Yeah.
And he became a really convenient fall guy because the offense is Kyle's thing. Kyle can't take the, it's my fault. It had to be somebody else's fault. Do I think that's fair? No. Am I surprised by it? Also, no. I think he wants somebody that falls into that line of, we drafted for, we have eight defensive linemen, we're going to rotate them, nobody plays more than 60% of the snaps, and Steve Wilks has been in this league so long that he went, my way works too. I could go on for 45 minutes about Kyle Shanahan, because to me, he's kind of a Sasquatch too. Of every time I want to believe in you, and I told you the last time we talked, I'll take the AFC, and it can be any team you want, I will take them against Kyle Shanahan. And I had no fear.
All right. I'm here to throw shade at Kyle Shanahan as well, especially since I think he was probably more culpable in the loss than Dan Campbell was when Detroit lost to them. Brendan.
I would agree with that in fairness, and I would also say I want Kyle Shanahan to stay around a long time. Sports betting just became legal in the state of North Carolina. I've done it illegally, and now I would really like to be able to gloat about it to the masses.
Brendan, Steve Wilks with the same team that Matt Rhule had and very similar team to Frank Reich, won more games than the two of them combined in the last two calendar years, yet he's out of work. Does he just have, fireable face? What is it?
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, it's tough. We mentioned, you know, obviously working for defense for San Francisco, they were third in terms of points allowed this regular season and eighth in terms of yards. So I don't know who you're going to get in that's going to be better than that in 1 year. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing, because he only got 1 year in Arizona.
Yep.
He got an interim year in Carolina, and now he gets the same with San Francisco, and he's done a good job at these places he's been. Like, you're not getting these the head coaching job at Arizona at that point wasn't great, right? You're not going to get a great job if you're a head coach, more than likely, because they're looking to make a change. In the interim, you already mentioned, he was miles better than Matt Rhule, who got a much longer leash than Wilks did, and it was pretty evident that Tepper had no interest in hiring him, even when he announced that he would be the interim head coach. It's hard for me to just ignore the fact that the NFL was recently sued for discrimination practices as it pertains to head coaches.
And like, he was part of that lawsuit.
Look at that. Yeah, and that's the other part, too.
Yeah.
I had gave so much credit to those guys that wanted to sign their names to that lawsuit, because I felt that they were essentially submarining a large part of their career, because, you know, NFL owners kind of – strike me as a little vindictive. Shout out to Tepper throwing that drink on that fan. they just don't come off as like really kind of level headed about this sort of stuff. And I look at the results that he had this year, and I look at what Shanahan didn't do in the Super Bowl. I'm like, hey man, let's. There has to be some level of accountability here from your head coach. I didn't understand that, not even a little bit. The Cliff Kingsbury thing strikes me as kind of the Sean McVay kind of tree. Like, if you knew Sean McVay at any time, you could get a job. And so you look at Patrick Mahomes and, well, the Baker. Like, he had a few really good college coaches, which obviously was a while ago now. But a lot of really good college coaches, I mean, college quarterbacks that he coached. And so he got a lot of credit for them being really good, as opposed to them just being him being a good recruiter, which is not super helpful in the NFL. I guess he'll get another crack at it, because he's just the guy that he's a younger guy, and people like the idea of a young offensive head coach. You know what I mean? Like, for whatever reason, there's an idea about older head coaches not being able to learn and change. Because I look at Bieniemy, I'm like, well, he's had this level of success that King Cliff was supposed to have.
Right.
But he hasn't. He didn't get a from.
No,
what I know, he wasn't even getting interviewed seriously for any of these jobs.
No, yeah, so Bienemy didn't get interviewed at all. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, apparently mean. He apparently yells at people.
Yeah.
It's never happened before
Washington
in coaching.
Players complain that he was mean. I was like, man, that's classic Washington football team right there.
And Ron Rivera threw him under the bus by saying, yeah, it might be too complicated for our players. He was either slamming Bienemy or slamming his players for being too dumb. I really don't know which one, what he was doing.
Both, which obviously worked out well for him.
I'm really surprised that neither of you said the right answer, which is Cliff Kingsbury's handsome. And that's that. It's as far as it goes.
There's something to be said for that. I was sitting here thinking, you know, the thing I forgot to say is that he is attached to Caleb Williams. And Caleb Williams has kind of let it be known behind the scenes that, I mean, from the ownership, wanting ownership. I don't believe any of those things, but I also don't believe they're just coming from thin air. And I think he kind of wants to play in Washington. That's where he's from.
He's from.
Chicago has a history of just destroying quarterbacks. Kind of like the Jets and Cleveland and a few others. I don't think that's absolutely nothing. And Steve Wilks got hosed in all three of those jobs. I didn't say that, but I want to make sure that I do. Because he did get hosed in all three of those jobs.
He did. Maybe great at his job. San Francisco had great defensive personnel. So Steve Wilks essentially just kept it going for the most part. So, Brendan, what do you make? And this might have to be our last thing, so I didn't get to nearly as many things as I wanted to. What do you make of Golden State contacting the Lakers about trading for LeBron James at the trade deadline, basically a week and a half ago or whatever it was? What do you make of that?
Nothing. I can't read anything. And I was like, no, just no. I don't think that's something that happens midseason. Right, if that's something that happens, we know how LeBron likes to work. That's going to happen in the offseason. That's a conversation that you have then, given the level of power that he has displayed in the previously, even given his relationship to ownership in with the Lakers. He and Buss seem to have a really, really good relationship. And so it's just hard for me to believe, you're going to trade LeBron for – and that's the other thing. The Warriors don't really have the kind of roster construction where the Lakers would still be able to be competitive. Right, unless the Lakers were just deciding, you know what, we're done. We're just not going to compete anymore. Who on that team who's going to get traded is going to move the needle for the Lakers in a positive way? Yeah, you can do future assets and stuff like that, but if you're I just don't get the feeling that they're in full rebuild mode when you still have Anthony Davis. It felt like a whole bunch of nothing. I could be completely wrong. It could have been like one of those last second, Cuban Missile Crisis, it was, a few hours away from happening. It just doesn't strike me as the way that LeBron has previously moved, and it just doesn't strike me as how that would be helpful for the Lakers at all.
I just want to note for the record that I did not expect Cuban Missile Crisis to be utilized today on the program. Jeremy, is there a theory? Because you could spin this as that LeBron is letting it known that if this ended in L.A., he would be okay with it.
I would love to say something different than he did, but I was going to use a comparison as well, which is I asked out the head cheerleader when I was a senior in high school. The fact he said no was neither surprising or unexpected, and that's kind of how I felt about this. It was a Hail Mary from a Golden State team that I feel like it's getting late quick. Things aren't going well in L.A., and they made a call. A lot of people make a call. Doesn't necessarily mean you expect anything to come from it, and you're pleasantly surprised if it does. I don't think L.A. is his final destination. I never really have, because it seems like L.A. has been just hemorrhaging the future to make the present work for so long that eventually that's going to catch up to you. And I look at how they're built now, and I cannot imagine the final – think of a final Kobe game. Can you imagine a final game with LeBron James that looks that way with this roster? And I keep thinking that I get AD, but then where do you go from there? You got D'Angelo Russell that couldn't defend me. I think even with a bulky knee, I could still score 20 on D'Angelo Russell. He scored 70 on me, but that doesn't matter. I just can't fathom this being the end. And I feel like there's another move, and this was maybe this leaked because Rich Paul wanted it to be known, or Draymond wanted it to be known, or whoever wanted it to be known. And it kind of opens the door to other teams going, well, maybe we'll make the call in July. And that won't be this won't be the final destination for him.
Well, I think L.A. is home now, though, so who knows?
Hey, maybe he wants to go play with the Clippers. It seems like every star ends up there. I don't know how. The salary cap must just not apply to them.
All right, we have to say goodbye to both Jeremy Green at ESPN Draft Nerd, ESPN Asheville, all the way up on the mountains there. I appreciate your time, sir, and Brendan Wooded at HU Cosell on Twitter, Bison Express, and all other places that he – just follow him on Twitter, at HU Cosell. Gentlemen, it was fun. I appreciate it. We'll do it again very soon.
I love it. Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We got to take a break. I wish I had more more time to ask another question, but we didn't. We didn't have any more
time. I know. It's always good times.
I was going to ask him what they thought of my Daytona bets.
Oh, man, yeah. Jeremy would have had some great responses.
Jeremy does not strike me as a NASCAR watcher.
No, but the comebacks would be great.
Yeah.
He'd probably have the same picks as you for the same reasons.
He might. Would he also have called him Michael Bowman as opposed to Alex Bowman?
Right.
I don't know.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.